Welcome back to New Rock Stars. What If just gave the MCU a new hero in Captain Carter, but could actor Haley Atwell return in live action form with her Union Jack shield? Or should we limit our hopes for Marvel's What If to what if Ant-Man really did blow up Thanos' booty hole from the inside?
Please.
This is Rogue Theory, the show where we pitch the wildest theories for the nerdy titles that we love. I'm Eric Voss, and going rogue with me today is Mastertainment MT.
What's going on, man? I have significantly less beer than usual. There was an accident, there was a terrible fire, and now the beard is gone. Hello, everybody.
But now we have faster access to that smile, and for that we're grateful.
Aww.
Also with us, stand-up comedian and podcast host, Anastasia Washington. Welcome,
Ooh,
Anastasia.
Thank you. I have the same amount of beard I usually have. Thank you.
And we brought him out of Hydra Deep Freeze. It's off-screen producer, Brandon Barry.
Oh, ready to comply. I have no beard except for my wife. Hey-o.
Oh.
Got him.
Wait, I don't think I'm supposed to say that about myself.
Sleeping on the couch tonight.
Wow.
Thanks for
Maybe for eternity.
Yeah. Are you going to make her sleep on the couch? Because that's what...
That's what would happen. Yeah. Right? Yeah. We're a couple from the 50s. What can I say?
It's delightful.
What If is now out in the world, and we're so excited. What a premiere, and we're so excited for the episodes ahead. And the producers of this show have said that Captain Carter is going to be a central recurring figure on this series. She's confirmed to appear in the second season, and also in an episode later this season, we think. And they've indicated that What If is really going to set up elements for the live-action MCU going forward. And latest news this week, What If director Brian Andrews said that he and head writer A.C. Bradley actually want their two be a live-action Captain Carter movie. Ooh. So that's our question for today. Could Haley Atwell return in live-action in the MCU as Captain Carter? And if that's the case, would she have to get jacked, roided up to play this character? Could they do it in some other way? Or could maybe another variant of her play a leadership role similar to like 007's M, but to the Captain Britain Corps? Or could she appear in Multiverse of Madness to fight Shuma Gorath? Or could she team up with Sam Wilson in Captain America 4? What would this look like? What do you guys think?
I want to see her get jacked.
Yeah. Me too. I honestly just want to see Haley Atwell just get really swollen in real life.
Is that not what I mean? Like, actors have to do it all the time. She could do it.
She can do it. I believe in you, Haley. You can do
believe
it.
In you. Get in that gym.
And she would not need to get like 6'8". You know, she could just be her height, maybe do what Tom Cruise does in every movie, stand on an apple box, and then just kind of wear a slightly padded suit, and we would buy it.
Yeah,
exactly.
She could get those gains on, you know?
Yeah, I was so happy to see Captain Carter get big, because I don't like how all the new super soldier serums don't make you any bigger. Like, that's kind of the funness of what made Captain America so cool was that he got big. It was great seeing a big Peggy. I think if they brought her into, like, live action... I think Haley Atwell could like just bulk up a little bit. I mean, it's a cartoon, so you kind of see it as more exaggerated.
Right.
But maybe they play her like older, you know, let's say I would wonder if they almost made a movie where it's like a continuation of the Agent Carter TV show. I know they don't like to talk about the ancient TV shows of Marvel lore, but I think that one was well loved. I mean, they brought in.
Yeah.
Jarvis, we got to see him come into the MCU, so it would be really cool to kind of make a movie as like a continuation of that storyline. You know, maybe our Peggy in our universe gets to meet like the version of her that got jacked, and it's like Orphan Black or something, where she gets to play like 10 variations of herself in one movie. The Agent Carter Multiverse of Madness. I would buy it.
Yeah,
I
like
that'd be
that
crazy.
Idea.
I love that. I think that. We'll probably see an Agent Carter, a Captain Carter in season 2 of Loki. I think that's a really likely place that she'll pop up if she does pop up in live action, because Loki is a Disney Plus thing, and as is What If. So if they were, I feel like there's more flexibility and more you can do there with a Captain Carter appearance. And, you know, Captain Carter is going to be presumably part of the Captain Britain Corps, which is his multiverse team. And so since Loki season 2 ended with the multiverse coming out and like doing its crazy branch stuff, I think it's a good chance that we could see a Captain Carter teaming up with a Loki or some degree or something in season 2.
Now, do you think that they will connect back to that Easter egg in the episode 1 of Loki where there's that possibly variant Peggy Carter who's being dragged around in the background? Like, oh, are they just going to retcon that and be like, yep, that was her, and here she is
now.
Oh,
yeah. Like, that was a huge deal when that episode dropped. It's so, like, if it wasn't Peggy before, it's Peggy now. It's Peggy now. So it's... That's probably what's going to happen. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, that was Peggy. She was on a secret mission.
Don't you think they test stuff like that? They put stuff like that and then, like, they test out some other kind of episode or something and they go, oh, people reacted the way we wanted to? Cool. That is exactly what we wanted. You know? Like, we did this over here.
I wouldn't be surprised. You know what I mean? I would not be surprised at all.
And if we didn't like it, they're going to be like, don't look.
Right. Oh, yeah. I do think that they put Easter eggs in there just to, like, mess with our heads and play with our expectations. Because they know, like, a show like Loki does not get made in a void without, without YouTubers breaking it down. Because that show is too complicated otherwise for general audiences to understand. It's so wild. But I think that's why the show is so great, is that, like, it's a show made for the fans. Mm. And the general audiences will just catch up. And so, yeah, I'm not surprised if they were to just throw in Easter eggs and be like, based off of how you break these things down, we'll decide what canon is for season two.
We decide the canon. We do.
But really, you do based on your reactions and how much you troll us.
Yes. I think that's the case. Now, I want to bring up the point of Captain America Sam Wilson, because Falcon Winter Soldier clearly ended with him being Captain America. Now, we have a movie coming out that's going to be made by the same showrunner following Anthony Mackie in this role. I think the MCU is big enough to have two versions of Cap, a Captain Britain or a Captain Carter, and a Captain America as Sam Wilson. But would you want to see these two in a movie together? Should they be kept separate in different universes or different continents? Like, so what? How do we reconcile these two coexisting?
I would like to see Captain Carter show up and fight with, like, Sam Wilson's Captain America. I mean, it's interesting. I feel like because she is a super soldier, it's like another, they love having super soldiers and then they love taking them away, right? It's like they introduce a bunch of new super soldiers and they'll take them away somehow. Or they'll be like, oh, there's tons of serum and now it's all gone again. So I could see someone trying to get a hold of more serum and being like, there's a dimension where Peggy has the serum inside of her, you know, maybe that's like how they bring in mutants or something. It's like the mutants want to get involved with the super soldier serum. But I would like to see them fight together. I don't think it's too much Cap for one film.
I mean, I think it's just enough of the right kind of Cap for me. I don't like Steve Rogers. Okay, cool.
What? Coming in.
You don't like Steve Rogers?
Shots fired.
What?
So sorry.
That's like saying you don't
like
Rogers.
What did Steve Rogers ever do to you, Anastasia? You can't just drop that in there.
I mean, I've been through therapy for this, so let's just lay it out there. I'm hardcore Iron Man fan, and I think that he has very selective loyalties, and as a team captain, you cannot have loyalties not to your team but outsiders of your team instead. Like, I just, that's not a good captain. You can't sacrifice your team for an outsider. Not that I'm saying you can't have friends, but that's not captain worthy, you know?
Look, if we're just going back to Civil War, I agree with you. In the first half of that movie, I was totally on Team Iron Man. Because you gotta think, something like the Sokovia Accord, superhero registration, it was a responsible move. And I think Steve Rogers was being selfish by standing by his friend. I specifically did not like the justification of Sharon Carter quoting Peggy Carter at Peggy Carter's funeral, and that was enough to move Steve Rogers to be so stubborn to say, no, I'm not going to move. Whereas, you know, Natasha Romanoff was right in front of him, a living friend, saying, how we stay together is not as important as staying together. Like, listen to the people who are alive in your life right now. Don't listen to people who affected you decades before. Exactly. And their wisdom. You don't need to have Mufasa clouds who tell you what to do in your life. We do. It can inform you, but, like, that's why I like Black Panther so much. It's like, he tells his ghost dad to F off. He's like, you are not helping me anymore.
Right? He's like, I got this.
Yeah. Right. So I agree with you there. But ultimately, looking back on Civil War, I think both of them were wrong. I think both of them made really stupid decisions.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. I think it was like Black Panther was just like coming in there going like, I don't know what's up with you dudes, but like, maybe yeah, let's like not mess up the world.
Someone's gonna make it.
Yeah, like I was just like, let's maybe get it together. No, you guys are gonna fight. Okay, cool. Yeah. You know, like, but no, I'm like super, I think it's the Scorpio in me. I'm a super loyal chick. And when I see unloyalty, it's hard. It's hard for me. Mm. I don't know.
Back with Captain Carter, I think that the Wakandans would be really pissed off to have like the British flag on their vibranium shield. Like, Captain America, they were like, you know what? It's Steve Rogers.
Colonizers.
It's America. It's fine. But like the original colonizers putting their flag on their material, I think that would be a very interesting what if. Because like, I feel like Okoye would be after her. Like all of Wakanda would be after Captain Carter for their shield back, just for the principle of the thing. So like, I think
that I didn't think about that, but that's a very, very good point. Like, I mean, Wakanda was never colonized, right? It was its own, in its own bubble, and it just kind of stayed out of the events of history. But like, T'Challa, especially at the end of Black Panther, felt this sense of responsibility to the whole continent. And, that was the whole theme by the end of that movie is like, we need to do a better job protecting everyone else. He was able to learn that lesson from Killmonger, and their neighboring countries are countries like, Rwanda, Uganda, Kenya, that have definitely experienced their form of colonization throughout their history. And yeah, the Great Britain was leading that.
Yeah.
Leading the charge. But in regards to this question, I think that because we don't know where Steve Rogers went to during his like, you know, time travel shenanigans after Endgame, and because that we're now getting, you know, this Captain Carter, wouldn't it be cool if Marvel Studios did sort of like a Spider-Verse situation with Captain America? Because now we have Steve Rogers, we got Sam Wilson, we got Captain Carter. What if he just grabs a bunch of captains? It's like, hey, we're the Captain Corps. We're going to be doing some multiverse shit. That'd be really fun.
I think it'd be great. Like, I think that's the direction the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse needs to be going. We already have like a bunch of Loki variants and a bunch of Kang variants that we'll see with Jonathan Majors. The Spider-Verse is something people are already familiar with from, of course, the comics and Into the Spider-Verse. And hopefully we'll be seeing that in No Way Home to an extent. But yeah, the Captain Britain Corps is fascinating. And I would love to see other different legions of heroes from across the multiverse. And that's the only way you can kind of stand up to something like Kang is to have your equivalent of it, your own organization, as opposed to just heroes who are different kinds of heroes.
And it's also a great way to get more people in as these characters too, and get audiences used to having different actors and play different characters. Because I think that's like something Marvel really wants, is that they're not beholden to have one person play a character in perpetuity. They can use whoever, because comic book readers get used to artistic styles changing and characters looking different from like story to story. But it's tough in a movie, but this is like a great way to do it, to just be like, well, you're going to see the same hero from different universes, and he's going to...
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
he or she's going to look different sometimes. And it'll be great.
I can accept that.
Let's see. I am going to award a point to Brandon for this idea of kind of rebooting Agent Carter. Because I think that is the version of Peggy Carter that has really worked well on screen. Not enough people watch that show. You have all the actors who are on board to do this. Let's just do that. And I think if you just stick to your guns on what that show was, people are going to love it on Disney Plus if you were to do that. But we have more theories that we want to talk about from this episode of What If, specifically where that squid monster came from. But first, our merch partners at newrockstarsmerch.com are always dropping some cool shirts and gear. Head on over to grab the most recent latest obsession shirt, Bad Company, inspired by the Suicide Squad. There's other cool Suicide Squad inspired merch and some Loki swag that we still have, some new designs that are coming out all the time. We have some on What If that are still in the workshop, but they'll be announced soon. I can't wait for you guys to see them. And you can show your support for New Rockstars and get yourself some great nerdy gear at newrockstarsmerch.com. All right, we want to thank the sponsor of the show, Wondery. So if you're a fan of New Rockstars, you already know who Stan Lee is and the huge impact he had on Marvel Comics and the entertainment industry as a whole. But what fewer fans might know is that in the early 2000s, Stan Lee was actually in some financial struggles and really on the verge of suing Marvel. The all-new season of Business Movers podcast explores how Stan Lee changed the comic book industry and saved his own career in the process. On each season of Business Movers, you'll hear how titans of industry rose from the bottom rung of the corporate ladder and what obstacles they overcame on their climb to the top. I'm excited for this podcast and for more people to know about this often forgotten part of Stan Lee's life. On Business Movers, you'll find out exactly how a kid from the Bronx born at the height of the Great Depression went on to become a comic industry superhero. Listen to the latest episode of Business Movers, Stan Lee, on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, or you can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Wondery, feel the story! Woo. Well, we also want to thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode. Our friends at Blue Chew have a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no doctor's office or pharmacy trips. It ships right to your door in a discreet package. You sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you receive your prescription within days. Their licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength. And if you hate swallowing pills, hey, good news, Blue Chew is chewable, just like it says in the name. So if you could benefit from some extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we got a special deal for our audience. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code of ROGUE at checkout. Just pay the $5 in shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code ROGUE to receive your first month free. And thanks to Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode. And we want to thank Bespoke Post. So this summer, Bespoke Post is here to take your adventures to the next level with a new lineup of Box of Awesome collections. Bespoke Post partners with small businesses and emerging brands to bring you the most unique goods every month. In the past, I've gotten some cool shirts and some great kitchen gear from Bespoke Post, but no matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. From travel and outdoor gear to breezy summer styles and grooming goods, Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. One of their new boxes comes with everything you need to make your own hard cider, and another one comes with a cool-looking Japanese chef's knife. Whoa! So to get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers help them pick the right Box of Awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code ROGUE at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com and code ROGUE for 20% off your first box. All right, let's get back to talking about this first episode of What If. So this episode surprised many of us by going full crazy, opening a portal through dimensions and having a giant tentacle monster pour out into a 1940s castle in the middle of World War II in the German Black Forest. Yeah, that's my World War II. But we never really got an answer of what dimension this came from. We thought that the Space Stone opened portals in space, right? Just from one point of our universe to another point of our universe. What, Einstein-Rosen Bridge, a wormhole. This is opening a portal through realities or through timelines or through a dimension. Unless there's a planet with a bunch of squid monsters on it. But really, by the end of the episode, we see Peggy Carter go through that portal and end up 68 years in the future. So some natural laws were violated here. So let's speculate on what dimension specifically these monsters could be coming from. Could it be the dark dimension from Doctor Strange? Maybe the quantum realm? Could it be a future where beings have conquered Earth? Could it be wherever the Avalis from Guardians Volume 2 came from? What do you guys think?
Well, I think Disney owns everything now, so maybe it was under the sea and it was just Ursula.
What?
Just joking.
It's a gross Ursula?
Did you say Ursula? He said Ursula sending. That would be hilarious if Ursula was the big bad of what it is.
It's just her bottom half there.
She does.
Oh, Peggy, life's full of tough choices. In it.
Oh, Peggy, your man's too scrawny. You need a big burly man.
See, wouldn't you watch that episode? You'd watch it.
It could also, if it is another Disney property, it could be 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. They own that one. This could be the squid monster from that. So
they own everything.
It could have been in space, just at the bottom of the ocean and came out.
No, this is probably a squid from that SpongeBob episode where Squidward goes to that Squidward community and everyone's Squidward. Sorry, never mind.
Eric's so angry at us.
He's like, I need a
video. I'm not angry. I didn't limit into which universe is in. I asked for ideas. Your guys have given me three great ideas. I don't have a problem with these.
This wasn't Zola that made the portal that this monster came through, because he had been captured by that point, right? And maybe Red Skull knows a little bit of tech, but he was really relying on Zola before. So whichever scientist stepped up to do this, maybe understood the Tesseract in a way that neither Zola or Selvig ever did, and was able to get it to access the new dimension. Or maybe Red Skull went full magic on this thing and did some sort of weird spell that hasn't been done yet at this point. And that's how he's able to open a dimension, because he's always into the weird spells and the weird occult stuff.
Nazis be spelling.
So who knows who made this?
They do. They do. They be spelling all over the place. They be spelling.
That's on page 7 of the Darkhold. Nazis be spelling.
Nazis be spelling.
Because Zola wasn't there, I feel like Zola was like more of the, all right, we're going to use this as an energy source to power weapons and like to power, you know, suits and all this stuff. But like Zola's out of the picture. So now, you know, Red Skull, who was more of this guy who was like, who's obsessed about the myth of, you know, the cube and all this stuff. He's more of that magical type person. So he probably's like, you know what? I'll just get a mystic expert, someone who's into all this Thor shit, and we're gonna do something different with the cube rather than what, you know, Hitler and Hydra wants to make weapons for it. But for me, I think that this squid definitely came from wherever that Avalis came from in Guardians 2. I think that he's from that in-between space between dimensions. Yeah, me and Marina go into all this interdimensional stuff in our last episode of Big Question. And we do talk about the space in between dimensions and the space in between, like, you know, realities. So I think that these squid creatures could just occupy that space and just be, it's just where they are at. And they're just, it's where they're maybe just hunting for these extra dimensional sources of energy, or just waiting to come through a hole. So, I definitely think that it's this in-between source of, in-between
aren't we all?
Space between dimensions that these, like, really, really old creatures that have existed between the before the dawn of a bunch of universes have just been chilling and just hanging out. Creatures like
Chupacabra. It sounds like what you're describing is these squid monsters are like the spiders and moths that hang out right by the doors to all of our homes, just waiting for the air-conditioned air to come out, and that's how they know to come in through. So they're always, every time a wormhole opens in the MCU, it's just like right there, like, now?
Yes.
No, I don't want to go there. Oh, wait. Ooh, that castle looks nice. And then
they're just waiting for like the tastiest meal. It's like, all right.
Ooh. Ouch.
And we didn't even see so much of it, so it's like I don't even know. Like, there could be so much more going on in there, and I want to go in.
This is true.
Like a top half there. Of Ursula.
Yes.
Anastasia, that's what's getting you the point for this round, because I
really love the Ursula theory. I really hope that it's Ursula with a bunch of tentacles, just a bigger version of multiverse Ursula. Multiversal? Well, oh my god!
Multiversal! MT, you get a point for that!
Oh, no, I did it!
Well, I've just noticed, you know, since we've been, since Disney has bought everything up, everything's just like thrown in there. I just saw Free Guy. I was like, how many properties are we going to touch of Disney's right now?
Everything's fair game.
I'm just saying it could happen.
Well, we are all tied up. Before we get to rogue questions, we want to thank Grammarly for sponsoring this episode. See, when it comes to saving time and working more efficiently, it's the little things that start adding up and hogging time in your day. Well, Grammarly Premium gives real-time suggestions on your writing so that you can get to the next item on your list in record time. Grammarly Premium helps you get your message across quickly without repeated or unnecessary words. Grammarly has helped me catch something wrong in an email or text document a whole bunch of times. That not only saves me time, but also keeps me from looking like a dummy to the people I send those to. With the free version of Grammarly, you're safe from embarrassing basic spelling or grammar or punctuation mistakes. Grammarly Premium's advanced time-saving features help you write more clearly and efficiently. Streamline your workload with seamless integration into Microsoft Office, your internet browser, your phone, and more. Close all those thesaurus tabs and save research time with vocabulary suggestions for more compelling word choices. Get straight to the point with clarity suggestions that eliminate unnecessary or redundant words and phrases. Hit send with confidence and get your point across more effectively with Grammarly Premium. Get 20% off Grammarly Premium by signing up at grammarly.com/rogue. That's 20% off at grammarly.com/rogue. So, I don't know if you guys saw this week, as we head into our rogue question here, there was a new teaser poster for the next Sonic movie, and it's going to introduce Knuckles, confirmed to be voiced by Idris Elba. So knowing that we have Elba in this, I want you to pitch me your craziest idea for what you think this movie's going to be.
I think this is the way that Idris is finally going to get to play James Bond. The first 5 minutes of it are going to be Sonic, and then all at once, they're going to get dragged into another dimension, and Knuckles is going to become James Bond. And I'm in! Finally! Okay. Or is that just my dream? Was that my dream? Was just my dream? Okay.
And Knuckles James Bond would be kind of crazy. That'd be kind of weird.
It'd be a fun
But I would love it. I would love it. I feel like a lot of the Sonic 2 plot is probably going to have to do with the creation of Shadow the Hedgehog. Because the first movie was all about Sonic and like the government's like, oh my god, who's this hedgehog? So they're probably going to be like, we have to make our own hedgehog to fight wars because that's what we do. And so like we're probably going to see Shadow. So like what if we get like Idris Elba fighting Shadow in like this like weird like James Bond situation where like, cause the Shadow's like more of like a gun badass guy. So it's like Idris Elba, yes. Knuckles versus Shadow in England, in London for some reason.
It's just two brothers.
two brothers
at odds. that's just a fun little thing. But yeah, I do want to see Shadow in Sonic 2 because why not?
Here's what I think. Okay, Sonic is going to get a letter in the mail one day from Knuckles. And he's going to be, he knew nothing about Knuckles. And he's going to be like, I'm your older brother, Knuckles. You left me. You were taken away as a child from the Green Hill Zone. And now it's time for you to come back and help me clean stuff up around here, right? So Sonic goes back. He's fighting with Knuckles. They're cleaning up the Green Hill Zone. Everything's getting peaceful. And then Sonic realizes that Knuckles is really like a tyrant. Running this place a drug lord. And he has to decide against his brother, Knuckles, or saving the people and telling the truth. And that's going to be like the ultimate. And then he turns into James Bond, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's got to be the case. That's got to be
just,
it.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
But I think they'll introduce Knuckles as like a hero and then reveal him to be a villain. You know what I mean?
I love that. MT, your voice as the government is very interesting. Like when you were like, the government, blah, blah, blah. I was like, that is how the government sounds.
29 years. That's the government. I've been watching a lot of C-SPAN lately. Yeah. And that's pretty much exclusively what they sound like.
Well, I'm going to give the point to Brandon for that one, because that just sounds like the wildest idea for
Sonic
that movie.
Sonic the Knuckles.
It's emotional.
Especially one that spends all of its time in the Green Hill Zone. I don't want to see the real world anywhere.
Yeah, put him in a digitized
movie.
World. Yeah, I don't need to see him at a...
Just make this an animated movie. It's just an animated movie now. There's nothing. Yeah.
Exactly, please.
Well, that makes Brandon today's winner for Rogue Theory. Congratulations.
Brandon! Is this his first Rogue Theory victory?
I think so.
Sadly. Oh my god!
Today is a momentous day.
Do you have a speech?
Do I get a raise?
Speech.
I want to thank my wife for always sleeping in a separate room from me. And, oh god, I wasn't supposed to say that.
Always.
Keep
always.
It in, John.
Always.
That is it for this episode of Rogue Theory. I want to thank all of our guests, Anastasia Washington, and MT, and Brandon Barrick. All three of you guys were great. Support all of them on social media, and you can support us here at New Rockstars again by checking out our merch at newrockstarsmerch.com, including our new Bad Company design, our latest obsession. You can follow me at EA Voss, follow New Rockstars, and subscribe to New Rockstars here on YouTube, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Take it easy. Bye.